Welcome into the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ross.
I'm Jonathan.
We don't know either. It's the name of the podcast. We learn some stuff. You learn some stuff. We talk about facts. Jonathan, Ross, I'm so happy you're here again.
Again. Can't think of us
the
yet.
The three-peat.
Your venues will be so happy to hear all about what's going on.
And other venues too, I think.
If you want your host to get on, bug them. And
maybe they will.
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Or Lindsay's personal cell phone number is.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, cool. Well, actually, I say that sarcastically, but I mean that I'm very thankful that you both are here.
Absolutely.
We just had Thanksgiving.
I know, so we're sharing all of our thanks.
Yeah, and I went around the table and I said, man, Ross and Jonathan, I'm thankful that they were on that podcast. And my mom was like, what podcast? I was like, don't listen, Mom. You don't know
and
what's
going
on.
Who are Ross and Jonathan?
Just kidding. Love my mom. Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Ross, kick us off.
Oh, I'm kicking off today. All right, cool.
Or you don't have to if you don't want to.
I'm happy to. So I was out last night with some friends.
Oh.
Drinking some wine.
You do love wine.
I love me some wine. Last
we
week,
have
remember,
that
I
common.
Love Australians. I also love wine.
I actually, Yellowtail is one of my favorite wines.
So Yellowtail's gross.
But it's wine.
But Australian wine is great, but this has nothing to do with
it. Is Yellowtail not Australian wine?
It is.
Okay.
But
good,
it's just bad Australian
it's
wine.
It's bad Australian wine.
I could actually throw that bottle 40 miles per hour. No, I'm just kidding.
As fast as a kangaroo? Oh my God.
Well, there's a kangaroo
on
it.
On a little label, right? Yeah, perfect. So yeah, I'm quite a wine
You're very pleased
nerd.
With yourself, aren't you?
I am.
She's just giggling in the corner now.
And just crying a little
wonderful.
Bit. It's fine.
I actually had 4 bottles of Yellowtail before this podcast started. I didn't, but I wish I did.
I know.
No, by the way, the Drunk Podcast is indeed coming up.
It is.
It's the first time we've ever done it, so there's no reason to go back and listen to previous.
In every 50 and 0-0 increment.
Okay. Focus.
Yes.
Are we all focused?
Yes. I'm
Lindsay's
focused
on
you.
It's the sugar high.
I'm ready for some wine. But
all right. Yeah, so we don't have wine here right now, but even if we did, you couldn't see it. So
audio medium.
Yeah. So I have 2 wine fun facts here.
Ooh.
One is a money question.
Yes.
And then other is a wine regions question. So, all right. So in 1995, there was a charity auction in Napa Valley.
Okay. Heard of it.
And Screaming Eagle is a winery. Screaming Eagle made a Cabernet Sauvignon in 1992 is the vintage. It is ranked the bottle that is the highest sale price of any bottle of wine. So, and it was at a charity auction. So, I mean, we're not counting like what's taken out for charity or anything like that. But just the dollar figure, what is the how much is the most expensive bottle of wine ever sold?
So at Harris Teeter, I see bottles of wine for like $50,
right.
And that's more than I'm willing to spend on wine.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to assume it's way more than that.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yeah.
This isn't even my fact, but yes.
We're on a roll so far.
I watched an episode of Shark Tank where Mr. Wonderful was talking to some people that had like wines in a glass or something. And he's like, my $1,000 bottles of wine and this kind of thing. So it's more than that.
So it's more than that too, yeah.
I know that there was like an auction a few years ago with a bottle of wine that was from like the 1800s or something, and that fetched like $12,000 in market.
Right.
So I'm going to guess probably like $87,000.
$87,000,
all right. Okay. I'm going to go a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe
$86,000.
No. $1.
$1. I'm going to say $28,000. I'm going to say $28,000.
$28,000. Jonathan, do you have a guess?
I'm going to split the difference with, again, little reference, as it is the theme. I'm going to go about $50,000. Yeah.
All right.
Not just 50.
So, you are all way off.
Okay, can we redo that? Can we redo it?
Yeah, you are all very low.
Okay.
Very low.
Yeah.
Oh, 1.2 million.
Redo it.
$411,000. All right.
Because they each gave a dollar for the moon landing faking.
Sure.
No. I'm going to up that even more. I'm going to say
$567,000.
I'm going to say $710,548.
Okay.
And 15 cents.
$710 is what I'm going with.
Guess again and go like $250,000.
Okay. So if we're playing Price Right rules, Price is Right, The price, yeah, is that's right. Price, is right.
Price
of right. That's not a
the
thing.
The price of right.
Jonathan is correct. So the auction price was
$500,000. I should have stick with the $400,000 guess.
It's like a little controversial because the wine was only 3 years old at the time. So if you don't take the charity auction, the highest wine at any auction is,
auction.
Like an auction, like not just a charity auction, but like at an actual wine auction. Yeah. Was a 1947 Cheval Blanc that sold for $304,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I could whistle until that moment, but it was worth it.
1947 is the vintage on that. So
what was I thinking of that 1800s bottle that was $12,000? Where did that come from?
So I guess it just depends on the vintage quality, who's selling, stuff like that. So,
I feel like it's a plot device in like three or four different shows that I've seen. There was like, there's this bottle owned by Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
I've seen
those
them,
crime
like,
shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's always, it's always a plot device in like three of them. Like,
yeah.
And they're all like,
and
the,
it's great.
The basic
one of them
cable.
Is fake too. Like fake bottle. Yeah.
And they're all the cable. It's not like anything on network.
There's
it's
actually
like
a really
USA.
Good documentary about that on like this wine forger who was like selling bottles that he was relabeling. And it was like wild, and he made millions and millions of dollars off of it.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference anyway. But my follow-up question, so I know that the wine, the training thing is a sommelier.
Yes.
Boom. Nailed it. So is there like a sommelier detective that analyzes and finds people that are committing wine crimes? Like Michael and I watched John Oliver the other week and we found out about the Postal Investigative Service. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's like somebody that goes to restaurants and orders wine and then identifies it as the wrong wine. They're like, you're under arrest.
So I don't think so.
Stop your whining.
You would never open in a restaurant.
I'm sorry. I think you guys missed my like really big moment where I was like, stop your whining. You're under arrest.
Your whining.
Thank you.
But write that down for phrasing me.
That might be
stop your whining.
It's in the running.
So I know that the FBI has like a white collar crime division that does like art forgery, wine forgery, and stuff like that. And I would imagine that if you, because you don't want to open the bottle necessarily because it's worth more closed than it is open. So you're probably never going to, like, find it. But if you were to open it, I imagine a sommelier would be able to, like, kind of tell you whether or not it's legit.
This is
I would watch the show.
Yeah,
no, I would
sure,
watch that
right?
show in a heartbeat.
This is how I'm... we can link the documentary.
It's just the CSI people with the sunglasses in the room tasting all the
tasting
wine, getting
wine, like,
slowly more intoxicated. Like, this is definitely it. And then the numbers on, like, that clear whiteboard. Is
like scribbles down. So, yeah.
Drunk History meets CSI.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Run with it.
Let's watch it. So then my other quick wine question is just a cheesy one, something I recently learned.
Ooh, I love cheese.
Through another podcast. But unfortunately, not wine and cheese, but I wish it was now. So in 2007, the United States received its most recent certified or like official AVA, which is like a certified wine region. It's called the Outer Coastal Plain of America.
Oh.
So it's the American Viticultural Area is the AVA. It covers 2.25 million acres of what U.S. state? This is the most
blank faces.
The Outer Coastal?
The Outer Coastal Plain is the is the newest AVA in the United States.
I have a guess. It's a completely 100% gut guess.
Go for it.
Hawaii.
No, but that's a great guess.
Coastal. Yeah.
They don't
yeah,
have, do
yeah,
they
yeah.
have that many acreage? Like I don't.
That was
I
my
think
that
the
was my only
hesitation. Bigger than the whole state, but
yeah.
that's possible.
That
well,
was my
I mean.
Only
yeah.
hesitation, but it was like it was completely just gut call.
Acre yeah. is one of those weird unit of measures that
you know how much it is, but you really don't know how much it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's like I can picture okay, that's like a 1 acre or half acre plot of land, but then when you put it to that big of a scale, you're like, I have no idea. So I would guess like South Carolina, North Carolina, because I know a lot of their like you know coastal highway and coastal towns and things. But again, I have no idea if that.
If
amount
of
acreage is in their mileage as a state.
So North Carolina does grow wine. It's not the Outer Coastal Plain AVA though.
Oh.
So for this kind of question, I always usually end up picking Alaska just because there's so much space and they do everything.
That's a fascinating answer.
But it feels like it's way too cold to grow grapes in Alaska.
Very possible.
So
the Outer Coastal Plain is a wine region in New Jersey.
Ooh.
Oh.
And New Jersey wine is starting to make a name for itself.
Oh.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. You know what?
Lindsay's making the disappointed face.
No, I think, you know, I just, in you know, in middle school or whatever, high school, whenever they had that, like the first Facebook page. I think one of the first Facebook pages I liked was "Blow New Jersey Up and Get Pennsylvania Beach." I'm really mad.
Lindsay was pretty classy.
I just really was always mad that anytime you went, you'd have to wait in line to get your gas pump. But then it got cold, and it was like, okay, this is actually kind of nice.
Right.
So yeah, know, catch 22. I poo on New Jersey a lot, but I don't hate it that much. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're looking at me, you want me to go?
Jonathan.
No, you look like you were about to defend it, but I know you're New York and Islanders.
I'm a
and
New
stuff.
Yorker.
I know, no, I knew that, yeah, but right. You look like for a second, you were like, so no, okay. Nope. Just making sure.
But I can go.
So maybe we should get some Jersey wine for a drunk podcast.
Oh.
Hey.
Will that make you a different kind of drunk? That's a path I want to. That's the opening pilot episode of of Wine Cop. I'm going to think of some more names, but
right.
The Grape Detective.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
so. This
good.
Is actually our last podcast ever. Lindsay has a new job writing a television show.
I'm so happy and so excited about it. Okay,
Jonathan, go for it.
Yeah, here Jonathan. This is before we go down the
we're already
the
way off the track. So here we go. No.
Wait, what?
I'm shaking my head. So have you heard of the Fresno Drop? I only learned about this week.
No.
So yeah.
Is that song where like the music would change and then everybody had costumes? No, I know that's the Harlem Shake. I'm just kidding.
So in 1958, Bank of America was trying to get big into the credit card industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Fresno, California, and basically mailed out all these credit cards to people.
That's unfortunate.
Didn't have to apply. Credit card showed up at your door.
Oh.
And it was this big experiment. They lost money. There was fraud involved with it. It's all in the article. You can read in the link dump. But what was the credit limit that they gave to everyone? And just for you, Michael, I did calculate the inflation value, but okay. I'm looking for the at the time how many.
And what year was that once more?
1958.
Ooh.
It was the.
And in Fresno, of all places.
Fresno. It was in the article why they picked Fresno. I forget off the top of my head.
Okay, so they mail out these credit cards because they want people to obviously use their credit cards and then get interest payments and make their money. Like I understand how credit cards work. I don't understand how they could just mail them to people.
So at the time, the only credit card, in quotes, was like the Diners Club. So this was the precursor to what became Visa.
Got it.
So
okay.
Credit was still a very localized thing at the time and not this industry-wide thing like we know now.
Okay. Yeah, I very rarely carry cash anymore. I like those miles. Okay, I'm going to say $50.
I was going to say $50.
I'll say $50 still.
$51.
I'm going to say $110.
We're all going on the low end. It could be like a couple $1,000s where they like people would buy houses and things back then.
So in today's dollars, it's a couple thousand. You're actually in the old dollars from then, you're all slightly under.
$250.
We're in the 500.
Oh,
wow.
That's way more than I thought.
I was surprised too. So it's worth about $4,250 today, approximately.
Wow, $4,000. And they just mailed that
so
to people.
They just mailed cards out. And I think it was in this article. It might have been a different one. But this that they just sent cards out to people blindly became a precursor to you have to actually apply for credit cards and they can't just.
Do they pass laws after that?
Yeah, I think it's all in this article. If not, I'll link the other article I had.
So did a lot of people like default and have issues or like what was the end result of this? Like, why are we still talking about this now?
I just went down a credit card rabbit hole.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's totally fair.
We've all been there.
Well, I just mean like there's got to be something that came from this thing. It clearly has a name, the Fresno Drop.
This was like the first big experiment in credit cards. So from here, then it expanded kind of out to the rest of the country.
Right. So if you were making a timeline of credit card history,
this is early on up there with like, you know, metal tokens that you would have at different stores and like club cards and things like that so that they knew they could trust you.
Oh, very cool. Could you personalize a picture? I'm just kidding.
Did you guys hear this was a story that I just kind of caught randomly? There was a girl that wanted to put a picture of Terry Crews on her debit card to prevent her from spending money. The bank kicked it back saying, no, you need Terry Crews' permission. He tweeted his permission to her.
That's
so
amazing.
So she submitted it along with the application, and they gave it to her.
That's awesome.
I want to say Wells Fargo. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Good for you, Taker.
Very interesting.
Appreciate you.
This was like 2 days.
He really could make some money on that ago? Probably. Like if he put his, hey, use this picture, spend a dollar to go to charity or something. That'd be cool.
I think he tweeted out a picture of like his wallet and has the same picture of like, this is how I don't spend money, is me sternly looking at myself. That's right, the one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I found a picture. We'll link this. It's
awesome.
It's definitely Wells Fargo. We'll definitely tweet. We'll definitely get out a picture of that as well.
That's awesome.
You mind if I go?
Yeah, go for it, Michael.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I go yet?
No.
You have not gone yet. No.
So Lindsay's had a rough week.
So this is an official Major League eating event.
Mm.
It is the World Champions, or excuse me, the World Peeps Eating Championship.
Ugh. Yeah.
And we thought
marshmallow peeps.
Lindsay has a sugar rush again still. And we're only imagine.
Though, let's be honest, if you give me peeps on Easter instead of Cadbury cream eggs, get out. Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with peeps, because they are delicious, and clearly there's a world championship for it, but Cadbury all the way.
So, is there like a video of them doing this? Does it just look like the game Chubby Bunny where you just shove marshmallows in your mouth?
There's definitely, I'm on Major League Eating's website, actually, so like it's a $3,500 cash purse.
I'd watch more Major League Eating if there wasn't so much vomiting involved. It's always a struggle.
Here's the hilarious thing.
I hate it.
It's at National Harbor.
Ooh.
The peep eating contest.
The peep eating contest was
Harbor.
was April 8th, 2017. It was at National Harbor.
Huh.
What? Come on, DC, get it together.
Love it.
Why did I not hear about this? Well, we not hear about this?
It happened at the Peep and Co. store that's there.
Okay, I did hear about this.
Yeah.
I do have friends who live in National Harbor that said they walked by a peep eating contest. So. Yes. So I take it back.
Now we know it was sanctioned.
The time limit was 5 minutes.
Uh huh.
And the person that won it, Matt Stoney, he set a world record.
Yeah, he did.
How many peeps did he eat?
Clarifying question.
Sure.
Is this the only time it's ever, like, does a world record count if it's the first event?
If you can put it in your mouth, there's a world record. Wait, no.
This is not the first event, by the way. I think we have a new secret phrase.
It's in the running. It's in the running. Okay, so.
All right. So how many peeps did you eat now, in 5 minutes?
Are
in
these 5 minutes.
Traditional duck peeps?
Yes, these are traditional marshmallow peeps.
Wait,
none
chick
of that
peeps.
Bunny
peeps.
The chick, yeah, the chick one's duck.
The chick peeps.
Duck, whatever.
Get your birds.
Don't think about
Scrooge. Birds of a marsh fellow. Dang it. Nope. Okay, I'll work on it. Birds of a marsh feather, I meant. Okay,
what?
Forget it. Like birds of a feather are peeps together, you know? That's
better.
I'll work on it. Okay, so anyway, you want to know how many birds this guy put in his mouth
peeps,
in 5 minutes.
Peeps, not just
peeps.
Birds.
Yes. Turkeys, chickens. Do they have turkey peeps?
No, but they have the bunny ones.
What, are they not in this Thanksgiving market? Anyway.
So most peeps eaten in 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to put my
mouth. I'm going to say 104.
104?
Why not?
Oh, wait, he's swallowing them.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he fully had to fully eat.
He had to eat them. Yeah. Okay. He wasn't like putting them in cheeks.
He's putting
them
in his mouth and he's swallowing them.
Yes.
Okay. Jonathan, what do you think?
In how long?
Five minutes.
I was Googling peeps. I got distracted. I had to get into the spirit
and see the shape of them and things.
Peeps in 5 minutes.
Yes.
I'm going to go with 75.
Okay.
All right. So if you have 5 minutes.
Ross, what did you say again?
I said 104.
104, okay.
So if you have 5 minutes, all right.
Lindsay's
doing math.
We have the calculator. Well,
give me a minute then.
Let me just Google peeps.
No, I think that I'm going by like by second and da, 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 and that's silly because that's math, whatever.
Sure.
But I think that 75 is a good amount to get in because I think you can chew and do two at once. But I'm going to say 80.
Okay.
I'm going to say 80.
In all of your cases, what did you say, Ross?
104.
104.
104.
In all of your cases, that would have been good for eighth place. What? In the cost. In the contest.
What?
And so I did the math as you were talking. For mine, 75, that's a peep every 4 seconds.
Does it?
I feel like you can sustain like as a normal person for like a few peeps, and then you're just going to be sick. Yes.
But these are professionals.
Are all these people now diabetic?
Like, they're professional eaters.
I guess they're. But I mean, that's a lot of sugar content to put in your bloodstream at once.
Yeah.
Now,
friend would die if that happened.
Now, does anybody want to take another round of guesses?
Okay, so
that's eighth place.
So if, like, is there water involved? Because you can, like, you know,
soak them down. Oh, God. Like, you
know? It would appear that'd be my guess.
Okay, so
I don't have official rules here.
Start the first 2 minutes. I bet you could do a peep a second if you just swallow.
What?
Or like old person chew it, like no teeth, just like right.
Yeah. Okay.
Oof. I don't know. Maybe I'll go for like 212.
212, Jonathan.
Okay. So I'm looking at, I'm staring at 300 seconds here, and now I have no idea what to even.
You're
think.
Staring. Wait, how are you staring at a unit of time?
Five minutes is 300 seconds.
I'm visualizing.
I thought that you were like looking at some sort of graph or something, and I'm like, wait, how does that translate? I'm confused. But so, your turn to talk.
What did you just say, Ross?
I said 212.
212. I worked my way into about the same range. Now I'm convinced that's low. I'm going to go 250.
Okay.
250, okay.
But can you do more than one at a time, though?
Yeah.
Oh,
you've never seen like
crap.
The you've never seen Nathan's hot dog eating contest where they do it two or three at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm convinced it's going to be more than 1 a second.
Right,
I'm probably going to get up
more
and go
than
throw
one
up.
A
yeah.
second.
All right, now I'm going to go up to 415.
Okay. 415. Okay, if eighth place is 10. No, okay. I'm going 221.
Okay, 221. Ross, you said 4 and change.
3 9 somewhere between 390 and 410.
Okay, and Jonathan.
I don't remember what I said. I think 250.
Did you say 250?
Somewhere in that range.
Okay. The winner, world record, 255.
Oh, my God.
Peeps in 5 minutes. Second place
255?
255. Yeah. My 212 was close.
I was close. Give me that. Yeah.
So second place was 238, then 170, then down. 11th place was 47.
Wow.
I think I still want to go get some peeps. But I'm not sure.
I don't know where you find them in November.
That's why they
need
the
peep store, I guess,
in
National Harbor.
You want to go take a trip to National Harbor after this?
That's why they need the Thanksgiving ones, like Lindsay suggested.
Those of you playing trivia, the brass tap over in National Harbor.
Yes.
You know,
please send peeps over our way.
Send peeps.
Send peeps.
We're going to do our own version. Lindsay's going to do it next week on We Don't Know Either. we don't know either, peep eating edition.
Oh, gosh. Oh. And I love sugar. Okay, so I'm gonna.
We actually should do that for like a staff eating contest.
No, because
well, I just think this is a contest I can win, and in the office there aren't many.
Maybe. I believe in you, but I also believe that my fact is food related. So
yes, perfect.
Thus
nice.
It will translate. Okay, so which U.S. state has the highest ratio of cattle per person?
This is such a Lindsay question.
So I just want to know.
Cattle per person?
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't like the interestingness isn't necessarily which state it is because you can obviously pick a region
right.
And guess any sort of those Midwest states. I'm assuming you all got to the Midwest.
I was thinking Omaha steaks, so I was thinking like Nebraska.
These are
wasn't that Midwest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going Wyoming.
I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
I'm going Rocky Mountains, Wyoming.
Okay.
Like low human population, high cows.
I'm going to go Wisconsin.
Oh, dairy.
You said cattle per person, right?
Cattle per person.
Yeah, then I'm sticking with Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm
other than Omaha, I'm not. And Lincoln. I can't think of much else there.
I'm sticking with Wyoming.
I'm still going with the cheese way. I like Wisconsin.
Yes. So they're not dairy cow, just to be clear for the question. There's a different.
Not.
Cattle are different than dairy
Lindsay,
cow.
Lindsay, the certified meat judge in the state of Pennsylvania.
Did we go over that on mic, or was that just off mic? We did talk about it, but it's not like a certified thing. You know, it was just like one contest I did well in. You know,
gotcha.
And I have a plaque for it.
After those 5 years, you lose your certification. You got to re-up, kind of like scuba diving verification.
Yeah. So none of you guys guessed Texas, which I'm surprised. It would be wrong, but
it would be wrong.
Oh,
that was wrong. Texas is huge.
Yeah,
that's true. So Nebraska, from what I can tell in this graph, is number two. And number one, a low population state.
Iowa?
No.
Rhode Island?
Alaska. Mount Rushmore?
South Dakota.
South Dakota?
Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah. So South Dakota has the highest cattle per person. This is in 2017. So how many cattle are per person? And this is where I thought that this was kind of interesting.
300.
300 cows per person?
Yeah, why not?
That's considerably more.
That's a lot
so
of
maybe
cows.
This isn't interesting, but I thought it was.
Less seven? Interesting now that Ross is guest.
I'm going to go way lower. I'm going to go 7.
Yeah, I was going to say like 3 to 1, 3 cows per person.
Okay, so the answer is 4.43 cattle per person. So I guess I thought that was really interesting because you know, the population of South Dakota is about 868,000. And then there's 3.8 million cattle, right, which is a lot of
That's a lot of cattle.
But yeah, 4.43 per person in South Dakota. And then you can go, this map goes state by state. Like California is 0.13, you know, and like Rhode Island and the New England states have zero. New Jersey is zero because there's only 28,000 for an 8.9 million population. So. Yeah, okay. I thought it was interesting, but I guess
that was definitely interesting.
Yeah,
that
thanks,
was
really guys. Interesting. Please, I'm fishing for some compliments on this cattle fact.
Or are you fishing?
Fishing
for cattle.
Can't come up with a cow pun quick enough.
No. Yeah, no.
I was thinking about
that.
That
was really difficult.
That is grown worthy.
I love it so much. And if you listen to these next three, or if you listen to these past 3 weeks of podcasts, thank you for still being here.
we were milking it for all it's worth.
Yeah!
See?
Okay, so Jonathan, what's our phrases? What are our choices?
We have a bunch.
The two big ones I wrote down are stop your whining, and you can if you can put it in your mouth, there's a record.
Yeah. I like. Could you do both?
No, we can't do both. Pick
one. I also
one.
Had the grape detective.
Oh, the grape detective.
Pick one. You guys are the guests here, so you pick.
I like stop your whining.
I like stop your whining.
All right, stop your whining. It is. Stop your whining. It is. That will be the secret phrase. That's it. That's cool. This is.
Wow.
This is. That's it. What a great ending.
That's it. Hard stop.
There we go.
Woo, Ross, Jonathan. Thank you for existing, and thank you for existing here. And speaking into a microphone.
Thank you for that.
It's been fantastic.
It's the nicest thing you've said to me.
All right. That's a lie, and I can go back in the recordings
so
and show it.
So true.
Yeah.
I kid.
Yeah.
I kid.
And also, life news. I got ordained, so if you want me to marry you, I can. And I'm going to do Ross's wedding, which, you know, you're not planned, but someday.
No, someday.
It's going to be awesome. Anyway, this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ross.
I'm Jonathan.
We don't know either.
Bye.